This week's epistle, my sisters and brothers, is from the second letter of the blessed Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, such through Christ is the confidence in which we make our appeal to God. Not that, left to ourselves, we are able to frame any thought as coming from ourselves. All our ability comes from God, since it is He who has enabled us to promulgate His new law to men. It is a spiritual, not a written law. The written law inflicts death, whereas the spiritual law brings life. We know how that sentence of death, engraved in writing upon stone, was promulgated to men in a dazzling cloud, so that the people of Israel could not look Moses in the face for the brightness of it, although that brightness soon passed away. How much more dazzling, then, must be the brightness in which the spiritual law is promulgated to them? If there is a splendor in the proclamation of our guilt, there must be more splendor yet in the proclamation of our acquittal. And indeed, what once seemed resplendent seems, by comparison, resplendent no longer. So much does the greater splendor outshine it. Please stand for a continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. In those days, Jesus said to his disciples, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. I tell you, there have been many prophets and kings who have longed to see what you see and never saw it, to hear what you hear and never heard it. It happened once that a lawyer rose up, trying to put him to the test. 'Master,' he said, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' Jesus asked him, 'What is it that is written in the law? What is thy reading of it?' And he answered, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with the love of thy whole heart and thy whole soul, and thy whole strength and thy whole mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' 'Thou hast answered right,' he told him. 'Do this, and thou shalt find life.' But he, to prove himself blameless, asked, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus gave him his answer. 'A man who was on his way down from Jerusalem to Jericho fell in with robbers, who stripped him and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. And a priest, who chanced to be going down by the same road, saw him there and passed by on the other side. And a Levite who came there saw him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan who was on his travels saw him and took pity at the sight. He went up to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine into them, and so mounted him upon his own beast and brought him to an inn where he took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 silver pieces, which he gave to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and on my way home I will give thee whatever else is owing to thee for thy pains.' Which of these, thinkst thou, proves himself a neighbor to the man who had fallen in with robbers?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said, "Go thy way, and do thou likewise." Thus far the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. First things first, my sisters and brothers, I understand that Father Dilger is still in recovery. He is still, I believe, at Gateway Hospital. They are looking to move him eventually to the recovery hospital, right? Select, I think is what it's called. I don't know. I'm not from Evansville. But I know that he is at least in the process of recovery. So please continue to pray for Father Dilger. And I know that you, as much as I do, look forward to his return to celebrating this Mass for you. Also, I think you'll notice we are one short in our Schola today. That's because young Mr. Kreilein has taken off, thanks be to God, for the Fraternity of St. Peter. So he is out in Omaha now, or Lincoln, or I don't know, it's Nebraska somewhere. But he's out that direction, out west, beginning his, I believe, 7-year course of study, or 6-year. And so to please pray for him, but also, gentlemen, this is a call to you to step up to perhaps be a part of our Schola. In fact, if we could get a rotation going of, say, two groups of three guys, then we'd be able to have a high mass reliably every week. So, gentlemen, if you can kind of sing, right, we can take it from there. Or at least they can take it from there. I don't live here. So they'll train you, right? They'll do you right. If they can put up with me singing, fellas, they can put up with you singing. So please consider joining our schola, expanding our voice profile, and perhaps giving us a more regular access to high masses every week. Also, if you have any sort of ability or skill with this thing, the pipe organ, then I invite you to let us know that as well. Perhaps we can get a little pipe organ action going for our high masses in addition. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we've heard the story 1,000 times, my sisters and brothers, the Good Samaritan. We've heard it so often that perhaps we already think that we know the purpose, we know the moral, we know why it's there. We should be nicer to other people. Okay. But perhaps there's something a little more that Jesus wants us to take away from this. At the very end of the gospel, Jesus says, "Who was it that had mercy on the man who'd been beaten and left half dead?" Well, the lawyer, right, the scholar of the law is a good lawyer. He wants to hold his ground. And you know what? Come heck or high water, he is not going to admit that a Samaritan is any good or worth anything. He can't even bring himself to say the word to get it out of his mouth. So he simply says, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus says, "Go and do likewise." Mercy, my sisters and brothers, is today so misunderstood. Today it gets such a bad rap. And sadly, when we hear, or when I should say, when I say words like mercy and justice, people often want to spit instead of actually taking it seriously. Mercy, my sisters and brothers, is God's way, his primary, his foundational way of interacting with you and I. It is the first, what is called, divine relative attribute, that attribute of God that is there because he deals with us. The very first thing that God does when he looks upon you, when he created you, when he created the universe, at the very first moment, God has mercy. And what is his mercy? Why is creation itself an act of God's mercy when there's no sin involved, right? No sin at that point, and yet still, God is merciful. Mercy is a short, easy, tight definition. Mercy is essentially giving to others who do not deserve it. Giving what? Well, that depends on case to case. Some people, and I'm sure that none of you act like this, but I'm sure some of you know people like this, some people just get on your nerves from time to time, and they need patience. They don't deserve your patience. Sometimes what they deserve is a finger in their face and letting them know just exactly what your opinion is. But mercy is being patient because they do not deserve it. Mercy is being kind because someone else does not deserve your kindness. Mercy is being generous because someone else does not deserve your generosity. And yes, mercy is perhaps warning others that they have gone off the path, but it's warning them in a way that brings them back onto the path to the Lord Jesus. And it's you giving them a warning because they do not deserve that kindness from you. That's mercy, my sisters and brothers. So who treated the man in the gospel? Who did the right thing by him? Well, the Samaritan, because he treated him with mercy. And you, when you go out these doors and you see the poor, you see those who are oppressed, you see those who are in troubled marriages and need somebody to lean on, you see those who are perhaps a little rough around the edges. You see those with whom you strongly disagree. Well, showing them mercy precisely because they have not earned it, is what makes you more and more like Jesus Christ. It is not merciful to allow somebody who is diseased to continue with their disease when you know of a treatment. At the same time, it is merciful to be patient with others, to be kind to them, and in so doing, attract them to Jesus Christ, attract them to his church, perhaps even invite them to attend this Holy Mass with you next week, or the week after, or the week after. Right, just keep scratching at them. They'll eventually have to itch. Either way, my sisters and brothers, God has shown you mercy, apart from your sins, including your sins, but apart from them. God has shown you such great mercy in this life. Well, go thy way, and do thou likewise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.